Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you came expecting something? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you came expecting me to give you something? Or did you come expecting God to give you something? God can meet your needs. I can't. But I can show you a God that will meet your needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? We're part of the kingdom of God. How many in here is born again? Then you're part of the kingdom of God. Amen. And God is wanting to meet your needs. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles today to Psalms 23. No, we're not going to have a funeral service. Okay? Most times, a lot of times, the only time you hear that is at a funeral service. Psalms 23. How many of you ever heard them read that? Many a times. Nothing wrong with it. But we're going to look at it in a little different light today, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we bless you and we praise you. We thank you, Father, for the awesome privilege you have given us to come back to your house, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. Father, you said in your word that you seek such to worship you. Now, Father, we thank you for your blessings upon this service. And I ask you right now, Holy Spirit of God, that you rise up big on the inside of me and give me the words the Father's wanting to say to us this day. Not what I want, Lord, but what God wants, what the Father wants. I am totally dependent upon you, Holy Spirit. Within myself, I know I can do nothing. But I'm not within myself, but in you. I know I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. My strength comes from you, God. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of your might. And I thank you for that anointing, leading and open forth and ministering to your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now what, how many of you are at Psalms 23? Psalms 23, I want you to follow pretty close today. I don't want us to miss anything God has. But because of time, I won't be turning to a lot of scriptures. I'll be giving you a lot of scriptures, but I won't be turning to them to save time because I have a limit, you know. Hallelujah. We can't stay here all day, can we? Well, dude, Jesus will have to multiply the food if any brought any, and we'd have to eat, wouldn't he? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And he can. And I'm going to show you through Psalms 23 that he's eager to meet every need that you have. Hallelujah. He's eager. How many, just say,
God is eager
to meet my needs. He wants your needs met. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. And I will be reading some out of the King James, but I'll also giving you some of the same scripture out of the New Living Translation. Because it's a little different, means the same thing, but you can understand it a little better, okay? And the devil is a liar. Can you say that? He is a liar. Jesus said, don't believe nothing he said, because he was a liar from the very beginning. Glory, hallelujah. Are you ready? All right, let's look at first of all, I want to give you the title to my message. I said I want you to listen carefully, because at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you a question. See if you were listening. The title to the message today is The Honored Guest. Now we're going to find out, who is this honored guest? And we're going to find out what the word talks about, okay? Hallelujah. The honored guest. Psalms 23, look at verse 1. I want you to look at the first part of that verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I want to go back before I go on with that and say, you know, how many of you believe God for your needs to be met yesterday, last week, last year? How many of you know that you can't run on that faith you had then? That faith is gone. Today is a new day. And you got to walk by faith today, not in the faith you had yesterday. The needs God met for you yesterday, well and fine. Thank God for them. But you got needs today that's got to be met. Today. Now what does the Bible say? Now faith is. Faith not yesterday. Faith not in the future. Now faith is. You got to walk by faith now. Now faith is. How many of you got it? Now faith is. God understands how His plan is laid out. How many of you had to have the mercy of God yesterday or last week? How many of you know that that mercy is gone? Because today is a new day, and His mercies are new every day. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now I don't want the mercy I used up yesterday. And you know, I'm going to tell you something else. You will never use up the mercy of God. Amen. But the mercy we used yesterday when we made a mistake, when we stumbled, when we failed to ask God to forgive us, that mercy worked yesterday. But that mercy is gone, and today His mercies are brand new. Every day, His mercies are brand new. Every day, you have to walk by new faith. Hallelujah. So, in order to be blessed like God wants us to be blessed, then we're going to have to do things His way. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that? Woo! How many of you ever said, well, man, I love that scripture there. God said He'll supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's right, He did. But when you said that and put your faith out there, that was for that day. Every day is a new day. You and I have to walk by faith every day. That's why He said in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us yesterday our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us tomorrow our daily bread. No, faith don't work in tomorrow. Faith works now. Now. Give us this day our daily bread. Glory, hallelujah. Am I losing you? No, I'm not losing you, are you? You're right in there, aren't you? Hallelujah. You better listen and see if I tell you something wrong. You know what the Bible says? After you heard a message, you need to go back and get the Word and check out what you heard, see if it's right. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Today is a new day. All right, now with that thought in mind, let's go on with Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, we all know who wrote that psalm. King David under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I believe that with all of my heart it was under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, because King David understood the life of a shepherd because he was a shepherd. Amen. And he understood Jesus, and he understood Jesus so much, God so much, and he loved God so much. Even, how many of you know King David messed up many, many times? I mean, he did some gross things as far as we would consider gross. But how many of you know that sin is sin? There's no big sin, no little sin. Sin is sin. We categorize sin, but God don't. But God looks at the heart of man, and He said, King David is a man after my own heart. Glory be to God. He's a man after my own heart. Even all the times that he messed up. So there's hope for us, isn't it? There's hope for us, isn't it? Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. And Isaiah, you write these scriptures down if you would, please. Look at it. We're not going to turn there. And Isaiah 40:11 says, He shall feed His flock. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, David understood what a shepherd's life was. That shepherd had to take care of every need of that flock of sheep. Every need. He didn't have nobody to come and find his sheep when it got lost. He didn't have nobody to come and kill a bear and a lion and all when it come to eat the sheep. David had to do this himself. And he understood that. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Hallelujah. He is my shepherd. He will take care of me. Isaiah 40:11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom." And the New Living Translation said, "He will hold them close to his heart." Hallelujah. King James says, "Carry them in his bosom." New Living Translation says, "He will hold them close to his heart." I want you to picture yourself that God is holding you close to his heart. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And shall gently lead those that are with young. Gently lead those that are with young. Hallelujah. That's God, isn't it? He's a gentle, loving God. Amen. And what Brother Reed said this morning about God being good, he has no evil for you. That's what people need to understand. That God is a good God. And he loves to give good gifts to his children. And if there's anything going on in your life that is not good, it is not from God. Because he is a good God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. The second part of that verse. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. What did I just tell you? The shepherd had to take care of all the needs of the sheep, the flock, all of them. If he had a sheep that was thirsty, he had to take it to water. Hallelujah. If you're a sheep that's thirsty, God said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. He will meet that need. Hallelujah. If you're hungry, he will meet that need. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He said, I shall not want. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply part of your needs when he wants to. Do what? Now God don't meet that. He don't meet every need you have. He had to be a big God to do that. But my God shall supply all, what does all mean? All your needs according to his riches in glory. Glory, God, hallelujah. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. I like that through him, don't you? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit and show you something, all right? Meet all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, because on that cross, through that atonement, everything you'll ever need in your life has already been paid for. Amen. Everything you will ever need in life is paid for. It's already been done. It's a done deal. Hallelujah. Everything. Everything. Not some things, not part of it, all of it, everything you'll ever need has already been paid for through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the stripes that took upon his back. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I got to hurry up. Glory be to God. This is good, but I got to hurry up. I shall not want. Psalm 68:19 says, bless the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Now, what does he say? Who daily loads us with benefits. What benefits? Benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God. You're a part of the kingdom of God. The benefits belong to you. Now, whether you use them or not, that's up to you. Hallelujah. You got benefits just because you're a child of God that God has ordained that you should have. But if you don't use them, guess what? It's not God's fault. Why? Because Jesus already paid for it on Calvary. Hallelujah. It's not his fault. it's your fault. That puts the emphasis off of God and puts it back on us, doesn't it? It's not His fault our needs are not met, because He's already took care of that. Amen. Glory be to God. Praise the name of the Lord. God, You're so good, aren't You? Woo, hallelujah. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Philippians 4, no, 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Hallelujah. And verse 2, what we just read, glory, hallelujah. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Ezekiel 34 and 14 says, I will feed them in a good pasture. There's that word good again. God can't give you something that's not good because He don't have anything that's not good. I will feed them in a good pasture. In other words, if you let God supply your needs, you're going to have the very best of the best. Hallelujah. How many of you know God don't? God's not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. The God that is more than enough. El Cheapo, He won't do too good for you, will He? But God is El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And look at the second part of that second verse. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Glory, hallelujah. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Revelation 7 and 17 says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water. Jesus told a woman at the well, said, if you drink of the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. Because the water that I give you will be in you, a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. And He's talking about He will lead me. Look at that. Let's read verse 2 again. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, have you ever been anywhere? Have you ever been anywhere and hear a stream running, a bubbling brook, and see and hear and feel the peace that you can't feel nowhere else? And that's what He's talking about there. That peace, that resting in the Lord. We were at the mountains a couple weeks ago with my son and his girlfriend. And we were camping. And there's a stream run by there. And I would go out there and just stand there and listen to how peaceful coming out of the mountains that stream was. It was a bubbling brook. It wasn't real smooth, you know. But where there is a current and turbulent waters, sheep won't drink out of it. They'll only drink in still waters, you know. A small bubbling brook or something that's still, you know, just barely moving. Moving, but you can't tell it's moving on top. He leads them. Glory be to God. He leads me beside the still waters. Glory be to God. Look at verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Glory, hallelujah. Romans 12 and 2 says, And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He renews my soul by the renewing of your mind. That you may know what is that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't it? Have you ever had? Well, I'll just use this illustration. When you first got born again, you had a lot of stinking thinking in your head. How many of you? You probably weren't as bad as I was, because I was like Paul, worst of the worst. But when you begin to renew your mind to the Word of God, you can begin to see a transforming in your life. When, how many of you know when you got born again, you were still the same old person you was? You look in the mirror, you didn't change a bit. A lot of your habits and your ways didn't leave neither, because we had to renew our mind to the Word and get all that stinking thinking out of our head and begin to renew our mind to the Word so we could walk in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord. That's hard to get out, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Lead me, O Lord, in Psalms 5 and 8 says, lead me, O Lord, in the righteousness, because in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. How many of you know that God will lead you in the right path? Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. He renews, and New Living Translation said in verse 3 there, He renews my strength and He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. How many of you know that God won't make you do something you don't want to do? And that's why I like the New Living Translation said, He guides me. He guides me. Or He leads me. You understand? He don't get behind you and drive you and make you do something you don't want to do. God wants you to love Him because Christ first loved us. He don't make you love Him. He wants us to make it a choice for us. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. Psalms 5 and 8 says, lead me, O Lord. I'm going to read that again. O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make thy way straight for my face. And look at verse 4. Glory, hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How many of you know that if you don't go by the way of the rapture, one of these days you're going to walk down that valley of death? Have you ever thought about it? Really, really thought about it? Have you ever dreaded the day when you're going to die? I used to, because I knew I was on my way to hell. But when I got born again and began to get turned on to the Word, then I found out through the Word that I don't have to worry about that, because when I die, it's going to be a peaceful, joyful, wonderful thing. You don't have to worry about that. Let's read that again, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. That rod and that staff gives me rest. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why King David said that? Because the sting of death has been taken away from the believer. There is no sting in death for the believer. None whatsoever. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no sting in death. How do you know that? Well, let's see what the Word says. Hallelujah. Well, let me just go ahead and... Did I bring that? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 5 and 15 and 56 says, and I'll just paraphrase it here, the sting of death has been removed from the believer. Because the sting of death is sin. And the sin was from the law. Glory, hallelujah. So for the believer, the sting of death is gone. Glory, why? Because we're not living in sin. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So you don't have to worry about dying no more. When it comes time to go and your race is finished, I believe you should finish your race. I believe you should finish your course that God has given you. And when that time comes, you need to understand and realize it's going to be a peaceful thing. When you close your eyes in death down here, you open up in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. How bad can that be? Huh? How bad could that be? Not bad at all. It's going to be better than what we have down here. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When you walk into the valley of death, let's read that again, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord. The sting of sin is gone, and the Holy Spirit of God is with me. Glory, hallelujah. And you're with me, Lord. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There again, that shepherd's rod and that shepherd's staff, he's there to meet every need you'll ever have, all the way to heaven. Glory be to God. Glory, hallelujah. And Isaiah 43 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Isn't it something how God gives us His Word? He reaffirms His Word by His Word, and He gives us illustration to show us that He'll do exactly what He said, because He did it for the Hebrew children, didn't He? They were thrown in that fiery furnace. And what did the Bible say? There wasn't even no smell of smoke on there. Closed when he came out. And that's what he just said. Glory be to God. Daniel in the lion's den. If you don't compromise, you won't burn. If you compromise, you'll burn. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Woo! All right, let's go to verse 5. Now, it's even getting better now. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He's not talking about in sweet by and by. He's not talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's not talking about none of that. He's talking about now and in this time. Now and in this time. Let's read that again. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He's already prepared that table. Jesus prepared that table when he was beaten, carried to the cross and crucified and everything. If I'm not mistaken, next Sunday we'll be taking communion here. And you know what they call it? The table of the Lord. The table of the Lord. Why? Because what's on that table? His body and His blood. He said, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me and what I did for you. Hallelujah. You do it in remembrance of me and what I did for you. Glory be to God. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's not in heaven, it's here. Your enemies are here. Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he works through people. He hates you. He hates any Christian. He hates Jesus Christ. And he hates everything that has to do with God. And you have enemies here. But they're demonically influenced. It ain't the people. It's the spirit that's upon them. He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Now let me ask you something else. How many of you took communion last month? Here. I know we had it here. All right. When you took communion last month, is that all you need to take it? You don't ever need to take it anymore because you got every need you'll ever have met right then? No. He prepares a table every day. Every day, just like every day is a new day. The table of the Lord is a new table every day. But what is on that table? Healing is on that table. Glory be to God. Salvation is on that table. Every need I have a financial miracle I need. It's on this table. I got sickness in my body. It's on this table. The cure for it. I'm depressed. It's on this table. Come and get free from your depression. Come and get free from all the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. At this table, prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. No reason why we should ever walk in less than what God wants us to be. Because the table is spread. And the needs that you have are met here. Hallelujah. Because He spread His arms and He loves you that much till He died and gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. Because He is your shepherd and He's obligated to take care of every need that you will ever have. Every need that you ever have. Hallelujah. Even though the devil don't want you to have it, and he'll do everything he can to fight you from going to that table to stop you, but you're more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. God has prepared the way, and He's prepared the table. It's up to us to receive it and to thank Him for it. All He asks is, says, remember me. Remember me. You don't have to wait every month to go to the table of the Lord. He says, as often as you do it. Amen. As often. You can do it every day. In fact, we need to do it every day. Amen. Just like we need to tell Him every day, Lord, You're my shepherd. You will take care of me today. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Y'all gonna have to excuse me. I get a little bit emotional sometimes. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How many of you got any kind of need whatsoever? I may not have called it out. You got a loved one that's lost and don't look there at any hope for them. That need to be met is at that table. Hallelujah. It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. Hallelujah. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you, harm you. That's the words the Lord gave you. He died on that cross, and that's on that table for you. All you got to do is receive it and live and walk in the benefits of it. He daily loads us with His benefits. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Go to verse 6. I could stay right there all day on that table. But I want you to know, and I want you to understand, anytime Satan comes against you with something, you run to that table of the Lord. You run to the table of the Lord because He's got an answer to everything you'll ever have need of right there at that table. And don't go up there and say, well, Lord, I just want a little bit. Take the whole bowl. Have you ever seen what He did when He fed the 5,000? They took two little old fishes, a couple loaves, and He blessed it and He broke it. I don't believe it just filled the place up when He blessed that bread and break it. But He blessed that bread and break it, and then He gave it to His disciples. He said, now you go feed the people. So they going around feeding the people. And as they go in, they begin to take something out. And as they begin to take it out, you couldn't tell anything was gone. As the more they took out, the more stayed in. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He wasn't showing off and make a mountain of food over there. I believe He just met the needs that was met. And I want to tell you something. You know what the Bible says? That there were 12 basketfuls left. Do you know what I believe that 12 baskets full was? I believe it was the interest on the return to the little boy that gave his fishes and his loaves. That was it. God had multiplied it and blessed him for giving. Hallelujah. Why? Because you can't outgive God. You can never, never, never. David found that out more than anybody. You can never outgive God. And if you give something to God with the right heart, He will give it back to you. He even said, "He that lendeth to the Lord, I will repay him." God will repay anybody who gives to... No, He said, "Who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and I will repay him." He's going to make sure he don't owe you anything. He gives you what he has freely. Hallelujah. It cost him his life. But he told the disciples, he said, "Freely you've received, so now freely you give it." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Now I want to read verse 5 to you again. But I'm going to read out of New Living Translation right before I go to verse 6. Hallelujah. "You prepare a feast for me." You hear that? A feast for me. Glory be to God. "In the presence of mine enemies, you welcome me as an honored guest. You welcome me as an honored guest, anointing my head with oil." God honors each and every one of us. He has anointed every one of us. Now, you may not be anointed to the fivefold ministry gift. You may not be called for that, but God anoints each and every person that gets born again. You're anointed of the Lord. In the Old Testament, do you say, "Touch not my the servants and do my prophets no harm"? "Touch not mine anointed and do my servants no harm," or something. You know what I'm saying. But now in the New Testament, we are the anointed too. We are the anointed of God. Hallelujah. He has anointed your head with oil. How many of you know what he told Samuel to do? Go anoint Jesse with oil. And he was just a little old boy, an anointing king. He honored David. He honored David, Jesse's boy, David. He honored him so much and saw his heart that he anointed him. And you're anointed of God too. Hallelujah. Look at someone and say, "You are anointed of God." If you're a born-again person, you're anointed of God. Hallelujah. "Anointing my head with oil, my cup overflows with blessing." That's what happens to me sometimes when I'm up here ministering. My cup overflows. Hallelujah. It overflows. Now, when something overflows, what happens? There's leakage, there's spillage in it. I hope it spills off on you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. When I first started ministry, Pastor Larry was my mentor, Pastor Larry Irvin. And he first asked me to minister, and I was just working in the helps ministry, and I did not want to be in no spotlight. I liked being behind the scenes and doing everything. So he asked me to minister in the ministry of helps on a Wednesday night. So I told him I would. Man, for 2 weeks, all I could do, I was nervous, I was nauseous, sick on my stomach and everything. And my wife asked me, she said, "If it bothers you that bad, why did you tell him you do?" I said, "Oh, no, I just had to." So that was still like that for 2 weeks. So I got up there and ministered, the first time ever ministering. I know it wasn't over 10 minutes. My knees was knocking, man. I was sweating. Lord of mercy. And it wasn't too long. I had to ask me to do it again. And I told him yes. And she said, "Why in the world did you do that? You know what it does." I said, "I don't know why I did. I just don't have to." Hallelujah. And each time it began to get easier and easier and easier. And I look back and I say, that then I wished I hadn't had to do it. Now I thank God that I did. Hallelujah. So even then I would get so filled up that I just had to stop and couldn't even speak, you know, just wipe my eyes, you know, and stuff and all. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. He told me, he said, don't ever lose that love for the Lord that you have. He said, don't ever get where you think it's not right to cry and weep. Whatever I do, I mean, and when I minister, sometimes the Holy Spirit just overwhelms me and I can't do nothing. But just thank God how much he's done for me and how much he loves me. And weep before him. Sometimes I do it even at home when nobody's there, but just me and God. Hallelujah. And I understand totally what he's talking about there when he says, my cup overfloweth. Hallelujah. And it ministers to me that God just thinks enough of me to spend that time with me and just fill me to the overflowing part. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's get back to where we're going. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My cup overflows with blessing. Look at verse 6. Surely. What does surely mean? This means absolutely. It's going to take place. You don't have to worry about it. Surely, goodness and mercy. Goodness, what? Goodness and mercy. Oh, I thought God gives you bad stuff. No, God don't have no bad stuff. Goodness and mercy and grace is all that God has for you. Hallelujah. And those three things will meet every need that you'll ever have when you come to the table of the Lord and receive what God has for you. Glory, hallelujah. The goodness of God. Moses was on the mountain one day. And he asked God. He said, God, show me your glory. God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And God said, Moses, no man has ever looked at me and lived. No man has ever looked at me and lived. But I tell you what I'll do, Moses. There's a cleft in the rock there. And I'll put you in the cleft of that rock. And I'll turn your backside to me. Or I'll turn you there and I'll close your coat and put you in the cleft of the rock. And as I walk by, I'll let you look at my backside. He said, Moses said, I want to see your glory. God said, I'll let all of my goodness pass before you. So the glory of God is the goodness of God. The goodness of God is the glory of God. He can't give you nothing any more or less. He's a good God. And mercy is undeserved favor that you and I don't deserve it, but we got the favor of God on our lives. We didn't do nothing. You can't deserve it. You can't earn it. It was freely given on Calvary. Hallelujah. Now look what he says again. Look at verse 6 again. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, I like to say, most surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I've heard someone say, told me this one time, you know, that reminds me of two little old puppy dogs tagging along after somebody. I thought myself, I didn't like that. I thought myself, how could you think the goodness of God and the mercy of God like a little puppy dog? Man, I said, not me. I picture when I'm walking around, the biggest angels in the world are fathering me. Goodness and mercy of God to keep my way safe, to take care of me. Why? He said he sends his angels before you. Hallelujah. So that's what I like to think, the goodness of God and the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day. Wait a minute. I got tears in my eyes. Surely, goodness and mercy might follow me. Well, I hope goodness and mercy will follow me. Surely, most assuredly, you can take it to the bank. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Now, if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, you ain't going to live on the standard God wants you to live on. But when you find out who you are and what God has made available to you, you can live a victorious life. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your word that has went forth this day. And I trust, Father God, that it has touched the hearts of your people and that you will accomplish exactly what you want to do in each and every one of us. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that as the days ahead, that each one of us, Lord God, will meditate upon these words. And Father, we know that meditate means to mutter, to ponder, and to speak aloud. As we think and meditate on the words that you have sent forth this day, Father God, and the anointing that has rested upon your word and has broken yokes, Father God, in the lives of your people. I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. If you're here and you need prayer for anything, praise God, we'll pray for you. We'll stand in agreement with you. You've got sickness in your body. Hallelujah. We'll lay hands on you and believe God that need is met.